You're listening to the Live Free Now podcast, bringing you the news, views, tips, and tools you can use to live a free, prosperous, and healthy life. Find us online at livefreenow.show. And now your host, John Bush. Welcome, welcome to the Live Free Now show, bringing you the news, views, tips, and tools you can use to live a free, prosperous, and healthy life. And today we're going to be talking about one of my favorite topics, kratom. Member of the coffee family, made from the powderized leaves of the kratom evergreen tree, grown primarily in Southeast Asia, kratom has helped countless people to get control of their lives again from the clutches of addiction, which is one of the biggest uses and one of the most amazing uses, in my opinion. It brings me a lot of joy to help people by providing kratom. I'm in the kratom industry. Brave Botanicals is my company. It brings me a whole lot of joy to help people, not only providing high-quality kratom that's tested, pure stuff, but also providing tips and insights and support in people's journey from addiction to sobriety. But on top of that, kratom helps a lot of people with chronic pain, relaxation, help with sleep. The red varieties tend to be a little more sedative, help with those things. The white varieties are a little more uplifting, energetic. They help with focus. And then the green varieties are kind of in the middle. They're really good for stress and anxiety, tend to have a little bit of euphoria for them. Well, the purpose of today's program is to review a couple of news stories. So I get Google alerts for kratom, and there hasn't been a lot of news or press as of late. Oftentimes, there's a huge flurry of news stories whenever the FDA or the CDC puts out a whole lot of propaganda, which they tend to do. They put out these press releases and these little mini studies. They're not even studies. And then, of course, mainstream media just takes it and completely runs with it, not even bothering to do an objective analysis. They just regurgitate what it is that the FDA and CDC put out. And I wonder if there is something going on with these two stories. We're going to cover two stories. One of them actually is pretty fair and balanced, and the other is a total hit piece. And we're going to analyze these two pieces. We're going to talk also about journalism, or lack thereof, right? And how the mainstream media essentially is a parrot for the government, the powers that be, in this case, the pharmaceutical companies, big pharma. And we're going to be taking your comments as well. There's already a lot of conversation going on. And there's even somebody already saying kratom is an opioid and is super addictive. It shuts down kidneys over time. So we're going to break all that down. People can become dependent on kratom. I'm an honest kratom vendor, and I always go out of my way to encourage people to use kratom responsibly and to let them know that taking a large amount of kratom over a significant amount of time, you can form a physical dependence. We're going to talk about physical dependence. We're going to talk about physical dependence versus addiction, which are two distinct things. And we're going to talk about some of the side effects, but we're also going to talk about the benefits and some of the great stories and testimonials that it's really helped a lot of people. I wouldn't go so far as to say it shuts down kidneys. If you are taking a whole lot of kratom for a long time, it can be taxing on the kidneys and the liver. The FDA and the government have made claims that it can cause kidney failure or liver failure. But then when I went and did some heavy duty research, there was only a couple instances and the amount of kratom that was being consumed was extreme. And again, it's all about using this plant responsibly. With any plant medicine, you got to respect the plant. You got to respect Mother Nature and use things responsibly. And so we're going to talk about that. And again, we're going to be taking your comments. I'll try to keep up with them. There's a lot of people already talking. This is actually a really popular topic. So our program is live streamed on the Conscious Resistance Network Facebook page and YouTube channel, also on some of my personal channels. And then we take it and we put it up as a podcast. So I'd like to invite you to subscribe to the podcast at livefreenow.show. Livefreenow.show. You go to that website and you'll see all the podcasts here. We just finished up a good one with Tony Guerin. That's the most recent one. And I'd also like to invite you to subscribe to us on iTunes or Spotify, Google Podcasts or Stitcher, wherever you follow us. You should also do the same with Derek Bros and the Conscious Resistance Network. Of course, there's censorship all over town all the time. And in order to overcome that censorship, subscribe to the podcast. And that's something that they won't censor. They could kick us off of iTunes, I guess, but at least the RSS feed will live on forever. And then I want to invite you, our sponsor of the program. We'll be talking about Kratom all day today, but I want to let you know, if you want to get a free ounce of Kratom to try it and see what all the fuss is about, this is an ounce of Kratom right here, 28 grams of Kratom powder. You can go to freeounceofkratom.com and you just pay $5 shipping and handling, and we'll go ahead and send you a free ounce. Claim your free ounce. You're also presented with a one-time opportunity to get 50% off of our other varieties as well. So definitely take advantage of that. Super high quality stuff. Excellent customer service. We're here to serve our customers and take that really important, the quality and the customer service. All right. Well, let's get right down to it. There's two particular news stories that I want to cover today. One of them was more favorable and actually a pretty decent example of journalism, exploring what Kratom is, talking about some of the benefits, talking about some of the risks, talking about the government. Now, they do fit in some misinformation, but oftentimes these journalists, you know, people need to really understand that just because the FDA or the CDC say something doesn't mean that it's true. It doesn't mean that it's an absolute fact. One more thing. If you're watching on the Conscious Resistance, be sure you go to bros.freeounceofkratom.com, bros.freeounceofkratom, so the Conscious Resistance can get a little financial support there to help Derek Bros and all the work that he's doing and the Conscious Resistance does. So the piece was really good, except for that little tidbit where they just regurgitate some total FDA propaganda. And we're going to go through the FDA and CDC. Specifically, the FDA has came out and said that there are 44 Kratom-related deaths in a small period of time. The CDC took it a step further and said there were 91 deaths associated with Kratom, they say. You see that? Not someone died because of Kratom, but it's Kratom-related death. Death associated with Kratom. This is the same thing that they did with COVID-19. And I always point out the Florida guy that died of a car accident who was COVID positive, probably didn't even know it. And it was counted as a COVID-related death. It's the same type of scenario. And we're going to go over some of the BS. And I hope that it goes to delegitimize the federal government in your eyes. Chances are, if you're one of my friends on Facebook or watching us on the Conscious Resistance, you already know that the federal government is BS. They're not looking out for your best interest. There exists a racket, a cartel, protectionism, and the FDA isn't all about food safety and people's health. It's about protecting those big businesses that have a position of predominance in a given industry, in this case, health and supplements and food, and making it hard for people to compete with them. All right, well, let's go ahead and give it a go. The first is ABC 12. Out of Flint, Michigan, of all places. And we are going to play the story, and I'm going to pause occasionally to give you guys some analysis here. So let's go ahead and let's break that down.
Kratom, it is a controversial product that you may not have heard about, with a popular following. While some say it has the power to heal, others say it has the potential to be downright dangerous. ABC 12's Matt Franklin began his investigation earlier this year, taking an in-depth look at the Kratom craze and what's being done about it.
You've probably seen Kratom around town. It's exploded in popularity recently. Some believe it is an herbal remedy that could even help with medical issues, while others believe it's addictive and should be closely regulated. It's a popular plant that's native to Thailand and parts of Southeast Asia. But in the U.S., Kratom is billed as an herbal supplement. Some use it to help with pain, while others use it to treat opioid addiction and withdrawal. It's legal, easy to get with just a few keystrokes or a visit to your local smoke shop.
I've been selling it for 10 years.
We met up with Brian Pelkey, owner of Two Steps Higher Head Shop in Mundy Township, back in February.
It was brought in as a supplement.
He has Kratom at his store in various forms and strains. You can get it in capsules and powders. And Pelkey says you can even buy it as loose leaves and extracts. The business owner says he's seen the healing effects of Kratom firsthand.
I've seen more people come in here ready to keel over dead, get Kratom, and come back in and look like $1 million.
The American Kratom Association says there are millions of people out there who have safely used Kratom to improve their health, despite the feds raising a red flag about the potential dangers of Kratom. In a statement, the Food and Drug Administration tells me there are no FDA-approved uses for kratom. In fact, they say data suggests that certain substances in kratom have opioid properties that expose users to the risks of addiction, abuse, and dependence.
Kratom is a product that...
All right, just a quick comment there. So if you define a substance that interacts with the opioid receptors as an opioid, then kratom can be considered an opioid because the active alkaloids in kratom, the two big ones are mitragynine and 7-hydroxymitragynine, they actually bind to the opioid receptors. This is why kratom helps a whole lot with pain. Now, they also bind to the serotonin and dopamine receptors, which is why it helps elevate mood, helps to relax when you're feeling stressed or when you're feeling on edge. I like to say it takes the edge off. Now, unlike prescription opioids, Oxycontin, Percocet, Vicodin, all that stuff, the alkaloids in kratom, they don't interact so strongly with the opioid receptors. There's this awesome doctor, out of a PhD doctor out of the University of Florida, I believe it is, the Florida University Pharmacology. His name's Christopher McCurdy. I think that's the university. But he really explained it well, and he likened it to a piano. And these prescription opioids, when they are interacting with the opioid receptor, they're like banging on the key, really intense, very loud, strong, boom, 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 right? And these signals tell the opioid receptors to push out neurotransmitters and endorphins, and that's what helps to relieve the pain. Now, kratom, it also calls on and stimulates the opioid receptors, but it's more of a subtle, soft key, see? That's why, as we're going to explain later, kratom can be habit-forming. You can become physically dependent on kratom, but not to the extent that you can with the opioids. It's easier to get physically addicted, physically dependent on kratom than it is, I'm sorry, on opioids than it is on kratom. But I am going to give you the honest reality that, and again, reiterate why it should be used responsibly. You can become dependent to the point where you have physical withdrawals if you abuse kratom or use too much of it for an extended period of time. All right, so let's go back to the video. And here they interview this guy. He's not a kratom expert. He even says some stuff that I believe to be untrue, but we'll break that down. So let's go back to the video right now.
That even though it is natural, it is not harmless. It's a product that is very poorly regulated.
Nicholas Decker, the director of laboratory services at Memorial Healthcare in Owosso, says there are so many unknowns regarding the use of kratom, especially the long-term impact. And he says the hospital has seen more people coming in for help after using kratom.
We've been seeing an extremely high amount of spikes in visits to the ER, calls into poison control, with sort of the negative impact that kratom can produce.
As of 2018, the FDA says there have been 44 deaths associated with kratom in the United States.
Pretty easy to get. It's not.
See, again, I highly doubt that they saw that. There was a story recently about poison control and kratom, and I think it was a big puff piece. The FDA or some industry, some government agency put out this thing where they analyzed the number of calls to poison control. And I think that's probably what he's referencing. And then his local hospital in Flint, Michigan, I highly doubt that anyone is even showing up for kratom issues. Maybe it's somebody that's an inexperienced user and they took too much at first and they felt nauseous. And rather than knowing that they're just going to have to work their way through their system. That's why I always advise first-time users to take a very small amount, like half a teaspoon or a couple capsules. I think that was just fluff there. I don't think there's this big kratom epidemic where people are showing up to the hospital. But of course, that's what this guy says, so everyone will take it as fact. All right, let's go back to the video. This guy, so this is one of these podcasters. I think it's in this story, not the other one. This guy has a great story, a cautionary tale. But I want to point out that he used kratom. He went away. We're going to hear about it. He went away from pharmaceuticals. He became dependent on kratom, and he was taking a whole lot of kratom, so he experienced some crazy withdrawals. And that's what I want to caution you against if you are a kratom user or if you think kratom can help you to find sobriety or just find peace, balance, a better quality of life. All right, let's hit it again.
Not hard. to find nowadays. It's in all those pipe shops.
Tim Galbraith is a Lapeer County podcaster and Family Against Narcotics board member. He spoke about his experience with us back in February. He's also a recovering addict. The last drug in his system, he says, was kratom.
The reason I used it, kratom, was to alleviate withdrawal symptoms.
Galbraith says he found himself taking up to 60 capsules of kratom a day to keep the effects going.
It made me feel better, not just physically, but emotionally and mentally too.
But he says for him, it became an addiction. He says he stopped kratom when he found himself behind bars.
I was put in jail for it. It created the false positives of fentanyl. There's a lot of drugs over the counter that you can take that will show up as something they're not.
Galbraith says for him, getting kratom out of his system was one of the most difficult things he faced.
Coming off of it emotionally was much more difficult than it was for me to come off of either heroin or Suboxone. You know, I was despondent for a few days, the first few days after taking that kratom habit.
He says he has been clean for months, and while Galbraith says he faced challenges with kratom, there were some benefits in his case, but he still wants to see more testing done, more oversight, and more education about kratom.
There is a potential for abuse. There may also be acceptable medical use. I hope so. It sounds like there might be. There needs to be more study.
Kratom is not regulated at the federal level, but it is illegal in 6 states and several cities. Michigan is not on that list, but lawmakers in Lansing took up a bill to regulate it last year. So far, there hasn't been any movement on the bill. Matt Franklin, ABC 12 News.
All right. So that is what I would consider a fair piece of journalism, right? There's a model for journalism. You know, you're supposed to, obviously, you know, liberty journalists and stuff are biased as well. Everyone's biased, but a fair, honest, balanced piece in journalism, whether it's print or on news, TV news, should be objective. And you should weigh both sides. There's often two different sides to a position. So as you can see in this story, the reporter took some time to introduce kratom, what it is, had some great favorable stuff from the head shop owner. And then from the other side, he brought in this expert, probably couldn't find too many experts on kratom. A lot of people don't even know what it is. That expert regurgitated some BS from the propaganda machine, Big Pharma. And then they brought in what I thought was a great contrast, somebody that had some concerns about kratom, but he also spoke positively of it. There's this whole thing too that I try to hammer home, so does Bros, that we don't need something to be approved by the FDA or by the government or even to be studied per se in order for it to be beneficial. Unfortunately, there's a significant portion of the United States population, probably the global population, that does. They feel that safety, that warmness, the low risk, right? So they're not going to try something unless it's been tested, although they'll take a rushed vaccine that's been pushed through the FDA by old Donald Trump, probably. But for me, you know, anecdotal evidence, the fact that it's a natural plant substance that's been used for hundreds of years in Southeast Asia, that should be sufficient. And then when you just have use cases and it's been popularized in the West for 10, 20 years now without any issues, that should be enough for most people. But I want to, again, use this. There was somebody early on that was saying it's addictive. There's also occasionally when I promote our sponsor, freeounceofkratom.com, there was somebody saying they've been waiting to try Kratom. Be sure you go to freeounceofkratom.com. Just pay $5 shipping and handling. Totally safe. Totally tested. No worries. Start with a small amount, but you can try it for free. This Able Star official, kratom's an opioid, super addictive, shuts down kidneys over time. So kratom you can be physically dependent on kratom. This gentleman, but here's usually when people get dependent on kratom, they were previously taking some sort of hardcore pharmaceutical. They were addicted to prescription opioids, or they were addicted to heroin, like this guy is saying that he was using heroin. And so it's really important to use it responsibly. But having said that, if someone becomes physically dependent on kratom and they were previously dependent on heroin, this is an example of harm reduction, right? Ideally, we're not physically dependent on anything outside of water. Ideally, we go and get exercise. We eat natural foods. We we meditate, we do yoga, right? And that's how we deal with stress or trauma in life. But that's easier said than done. So for someone to switch away from an opioid or heroin, which you could overdose and die on, and move to a natural plant, which is extremely difficult to OD or die on, not, you know, the FDA or CDC will try to lead you to believe otherwise. This, again, is an example of harm reduction. So I definitely want to encourage you, if you are to try Kratom, to use it responsibly. Okay. All right. So let me take some of your comments here before we go straight into the hit piece. Again, if you're just tuning in, we're talking about Kratom today. I don't know if you guys can hear that little ding. I hope you can't. It's kind of annoying me. Let me just shut this down real quick. We're talking about Kratom today, the all-natural plant medicine, plant remedy that's been used for quite some time. You can go to freeounceofkratom.com, pay $5 shipping and handling, and try some for free. You can also go to bros.freeounceofkratom.com if you're watching us from the Conscious Resistance Network, and the Conscious Resistance gets a piece of the action. We're going to go to some of your comments here before we hit you with the hit piece, where you can tell it's just a different tone. That one had a very objective, reasonable tone. They even had this nice melodic music in the background when we were hearing from the guy that was formerly addicted. The other one is just pure, pure hit piece and no bueno. So let's hear what some people have to say while they are tuning in. Kratom gets the job done, Ching Song says. Kratom's nice. Swallowing it sucks, though. We do offer capsules, and that guy said he took 60 capsules a day. Our one-ounce capsule bags have over 60 capsules, and that generally should last someone around 2 weeks to 4 weeks, depending on how much you take it. That guy was taking that all in one day. We sell this one-ounce bag, and this is a good starter amount that'll generally last around 2 to 4 weeks, depending on how much you take. But a lot of people take this whole ounce at once. And so there's a method if someone becomes dependent on Kratom where you taper off. And so you slowly reduce your amount. So for 1 week, you'll take your normal dose. The next week, you'll reduce it by 10, 20%. The next week, you'll reduce it by 10, 20% again. Now you're at 60%. The next week, you'll reduce it again. And you do this over the course of a few weeks or a month or however long it takes so you can come off of it comfortably. People do experience withdrawal symptoms, like I said, if you're taking a whole lot. Now, me personally, I take Kratom daily, and I take a few days off here and there, which is a tip that I give people in order to make sure they don't develop a tolerance. That's how this whole addiction and dependency cycle happens, is because people take a substance, their body becomes used to that substance, they develop a tolerance, so they start taking more of that substance. Before you know it, it takes you a whole lot to have the desired outcome, and now your body has become dependent on that substance. I want to point out a quick distinction between two words, dependency and addiction, okay? And this distinction comes from Dr. Gabor Mate, awesome medical doctor that does really good work in the space of addiction. He does a whole lot of charity work as well, and helps homeless folks that are struggling with addiction. But he defines addiction as when there are negative outcomes and harm. So for example, your body is all jacked up, or you're stealing money from your mom's purse, or you're engaging in crimes that have a victim in order to get money to buy your next dose, right? And you're physically dependent on it. So you can be just dependent on something where if you stop, you have withdrawal symptoms. That's what I would call dependence. But when you're addicted, there's this negative outcome. There's this negative side effect to it as well. And so I have used Kratom considerably. I don't take a whole lot. I've managed to just have like a 2 teaspoon or 1.5 teaspoon amount. Usually it's pretty good sized teaspoon, but I'll take it for like a month or two, and then I'll take a few days off, and I don't experience withdrawal symptoms. I may be a little bit more irritable, but that's about it. And, you know, somebody really close to me does take Kratom a whole lot, or at least they did, quite a bit. And I would always caution them. Yeah. You know, Kratom, they used to drink a lot. And so they're like, well, I don't drink anymore. It helps me with my nerves and stress and focus at work. But I would always caution them. You're taking a whole lot. You know, you may be taxing your liver a bit, and you may be dependent. And sure enough, when they stopped to take a few days off, it was pretty difficult. and there's like some restless leg stuff going on, a little bit of anxiety, a little bit of headache. So again, it's all about using it responsibly. And that's one of the messages that I want to deliver. I want to encourage people to try it that haven't tried it, that might need it for stress, anxiety, social lubrication. Maybe they want to quit drinking. Maybe they want to quit opioids. And again, the best use is for people to really have some amazing effects. Like I saw some people in here saying it gave them their life back. Is if you're struggling with addiction or dependency, then it can really change the game. Here's Blue Ridge saying Kratom has helped me a great deal. Well, this guy says my boss was using Kratom extract and it caused problems. Yeah, I would avoid the Kratom extract, which is just a more concentrated version using like an alcohol extract process, and then the alkaloids are a lot stronger. But it's really important to use responsibly, use small amounts. Don't let your body develop a tolerance. So, all right, what else we got here with comments? Which Kratom works for pain? The red varieties tend to be the best for pain. Also the green Mangda that we sell. This is a green variety. We also have Super Green Dragon. That's another type of green. And then there's two red varieties that we offer. OG Bali, which is a red Bali, and Red Relaxation, which is a red Mangda. And again, if you go to freeouncekratom.com, pay $5 shipping and handling, you get this one. But then you're presented with a one-time offer to get the four other types for 50% off. It comes out to $33.75. Now, we can't accept credit card because the federal government pressures the banks. They pressure the credit card companies not to allow Kratom transactions. But we do e-check, super safe, super secure. All you got to do is put your checking account and routing number in, and then it'll be like an electronic check. Never had any issues with the company that we use. They're called Green Dot Money. They have an A-plus rating with the Better Business Bureau. Of course, if you're into cryptocurrency as well, you can pay with Dash, Bitcoin, Bitcoin Cash, or Ethereum. I also believe nothing the FDA says, the opposite due to malpractice in the past. Yeah, the FDA, I don't know why they have any credibility with anybody. They're total BS. The accidental activist, Kratom saved my life. And that is what it's all about. The Eerie Fairy, who's on here often. Shout out Eerie Fairy. Mangda is the strongest strain besides extracts. I would agree. Our green Mangda tends to be the strongest that we have. The Mangda means like pimp grade. It's the good stuff. So that's super good. Jan Sobe says, Kratom has kept many opioid addicts off methadone or Suboxone and sober, also stop severe withdrawal. That's right. And that's why a lot of people use it to minimize the withdrawals so they can come down from Kratom. Greg says, I'm drinking my noon dose right now, Malaysian Kratom. Noon's a good time to have some Kratom for sure. I usually have mine around noon as well, or 1 o'clock, whenever my brain starts to get a little foggy, and because I've been working already for a while, then I'll take some Kratom and be good to go. All right, so let's get on with the hit piece. Oh, Kim says, I use eCheck to pay my property taxes. Very safe. Yeah, eCheck's totally safe, totally simple. No worries. All right, without further ado, I know you guys have been waiting to see this damn hit piece, which is just, I want to contrast the language and the tone and the music even that was used and what is reported by the reporter and what's amplified by the reporter. You could tell that it's definitely a hit piece. And this other one was actually an objective piece. And then it's like, why is this local journalist so against Kratom? Did a little birdie put something in his ear? Do they have a tendency? Is there this understanding in the journalism industry that if you toe the party line and you regurgitate what the federal government or the big industries have to say, then you're going to advance in your career? That might be what the case is. We know Ben Swan, who's a friend of Derek Bros and myself, he got booted from the media. And so, man, I hear somebody walked into our office here. I'm recording at a studio. They walked into the office to try to sell something. Oh, my God.
Hey, we're not interested. Please leave the office.
All right. Sorry for that, guys. I appreciate aggressive salespeople, but not when they're just storming into somebody's office. Not cool at all. Tar Om says, greetings to all. Does it work for pain? Yes, red Kratom is best for pain, and it definitely helps folks, the red varieties as well. We have Red Relaxation and OG Bali. Okay, should you take Kratom with a full stomach? There's a lot of stuff online that says not to, so you can have more of an effect. But I always encourage people, especially if it's your first time to use it, to take it with a full stomach, or at least after having a snack. that will minimize the chances of nausea or just kind of feeling a little off. I always take mine with a full stomach, and I take it every day. So I would encourage you to take it after a meal, after breakfast, or after lunch. All righty. Here we go. All right, let's hit you with the hit piece. Terrible, terrible bit of journalism, which is has an obvious intention to smear kratom. Here we go.
1 in 3 adults has prediabetes. Take a risk test at doihaveprediabetes.org.
And look who has the ad.
Opioids on the CDC. Brain, yet anyone can buy it at the corner gas station or smoke shop.
Kratom is...
Sorry. Just take note, the CDC brain, and ad counsel at the beginning.
Anyone can buy it at the corner gas station or smoke shop.
Kratom is a plant from Southeast Asia that typically comes in pill or powdered form. Researchers have been looking at the potential for kratom to treat opioid addiction. However, our Kettleman News investigation talks with an Aberdeen mother whose son overdosed on kratom as overdose deaths from the substance continues to rise nationwide.
Okay, that's not true. Overdose deaths from the substance does not continue to rise nationwide. It's completely false and fabricated, and it's probably coming from some FDA report where they came out with the 44 related deaths or the CDC 91 kratom associated deaths. It's not true, but here we have local media simply regurgitating it. Total BS.
Kratom affects the same opioid brain receptors as morphine and can be addictive. It can also have a stimulant effect in low doses. Proponents of the herbal supplements say it treats pain, anxiety, and depression. Kettleman Investigates was easily able to find it in pill form or powder form at Common Sense in downtown Sioux Falls. You can also buy it online, but there's absolutely no regulation of the plant.
It's legal. You can get it at your corner gas stations and at the smoke shops, but it should be a Schedule I. It can be abused so easily.
While the feds have called for it to be classified as a Schedule I drug, that has not happened, although it is illegal in 6 states. Millions of proponents say kratom is a good alternative to opioids to help relieve pain. However, kratom has caused nearly 100 overdose deaths in 27 states. According to the CDC, another 61 fatal drug overdoses were found to have kratom in their bloodstreams, although other drugs may have been responsible for the deaths.
At the level that Miles was using it, he was abusing it.
Kathy Boucher knows that all too well. Her son, Miles Bronner of Aberdeen, suffered lasting brain damage after overdosing on kratom, combined with prescription medication, in December of 2018.
All right, quick pause real quick. So he had an overdose from kratom combined with prescription medication. Chances are the leading cause of the overdose was not the kratom, a natural plant, just powderized leaves of a tree, but the prescription medication. Now, I will say if you're banging a whole lot of certain types of prescription medication and you're taking kratom, it's going to increase the chances of complication. But the culprit here isn't the powderized leaf of a tree. It's the chemically based prescription medicine. And it's a sad story here, but this woman's got the wrong, she's blaming kratom when maybe she should accept responsibility for her son. I don't know. All right, let's check it out.
The combination of the two things had put him in cardiac arrest. He had multiple strokes. He was in a coma. We didn't know if he was going to live or not.
This home video shows Miles waking up from his coma.
Are you saying you love your mom? I love you too.
I spoke with Miles in early 2019 about his kratom overdose on the phone. He had planned to do an interview with me about what he saw as the danger of this legal substance. However, Miles was never able to do that interview. He was in trouble with the law again for his ongoing drug use, and he ended up going to Rapid City on work release. That's where his mother says the system failed to help treat his addiction and keep him alive. You won't want to miss tonight's investigation slipping through the cracks as we look into what happened during the height of the pandemic restrictions in South Dakota and what went wrong in Miles's case.
when I was your age.
Okay, there you have it. Total hit piece associating Kratom with this poor guy's death. And it wasn't a Kratom overdose. She said Miles is Kratom overdose. There were other things in his system. There is a woman in Florida whose son committed suicide driving his truck off of a cliff. And she blamed Kratom because she said he was addicted to Kratom. And he was also using other substances as well. And so, again, to be clear, Kratom has abuse potential. Someone can use Kratom irresponsibly. But the benefit of Kratom, look, let's be, you know, frank. There are people that have had severe trauma in their lives. There are people that, I don't believe in the addictive personality thing. There are people that have addiction in their family, but that doesn't necessarily mean that they themselves are going to become addicted to substances. A lot of it has to do with the environment. A lot of it has to do with self-control and willpower and habits, healthy habits. But there are a lot of people in this world that have gone through a whole lot of trauma, and they turn to drugs in order to manage the pain, both physical and emotional pain, psychological pain. And that's where we are in society. It's a trauma-based society, unfortunately. And so for people that want to use something in order to escape or at least lighten the pain, some of the stuff people take, like the H, just takes the pain away and they're just in a state of numbness. Kratom, compared to all this other stuff, is a great example of harm reduction. Yes, it's not ideal to be physically dependent on a substance. No, that's not the best place to be. But to be physically dependent on Kratom compared to being physically dependent on heroin or pharmaceuticals or cocaine or alcohol is a great example of harm reduction. Now, this mother here is blaming Kratom for her son's death. And it's those types of mothers that pull on the heartstrings of legislators. Thankfully, in Florida, this mother wasn't able to convince the state legislator to ban Kratom. The article pointed out, both of them, that Kratom is illegal in certain states, those six states. My analysis of why Kratom is illegal in those states is the lawmakers, when they banned K2, synthetic like spice, right? The synthetic marijuana stuff, which is chemically based and it is pretty harmful, especially in the homeless community. There's an epidemic of use in the homeless community where they get all tweaked out and are like falling and rolling all over the streets. Whenever they went to ban that, they added Kratom along with it, probably because they sent their aides out or whatever to research or investigate, and they saw K2 spice next to Kratom at the head shop or the gas station. And so, but I believe that the effort to ban it federally by the FDA was definitely a big pharma thing. Let's hit up some of your comments, and then we're going to break down this 91 Kratom-related deaths BS. And we're going to break down the FDA's 44 Kratom-related deaths. It's all just total bogus. And it's so obvious how bogus it is. Ah, Melinda says, I used Kratom to get off opioids. And yes, the deaths are crap. If you take too much, it just makes you nauseated. That's a great point. There's a built-in mechanism of correction with Kratom where if you start to take too much, it's like the law of diminishing returns. So you take a small amount of Kratom, you feel, oh, okay, wow, I feel a little relaxed. I feel a little more cheerful. I'm not as stressed as I was before. And then you're like, okay, maybe I'll take a little bit more. You take a little bit more Kratom, and you're like, wow, I feel at ease right now. In fact, I feel a little bit of mild euphoria. This feels pretty good. And if you're like, I'm going to take some more, and you start taking another dose and another dose and another dose, it has a law of diminishing returns. You'll start to feel a little bit better, but up until a point, then you'll start to feel like, oh, then you'll just keep drinking it. It doesn't change the way you feel at all. And if you keep drinking it, then you start to feel nauseous. So there was one instance where I was experimenting with Kratom extracts. This is one of the reasons why I'm not a big fan of extracts. And so it was this new thing. It was when I ran Brave New Books and we were selling Kratom at the store, we mainly sold health products. And so this guy came in. He's like, hey, I got this line of Kratom extracts. So I bought a bunch of different ones, different flavors from him. And I took one, didn't feel anything for 30 minutes or an hour. So I was like, oh, maybe that one wasn't the best kind. I'll try this kind. Took some more, didn't feel anything. Huh, this isn't really working. A couple hours have passed, take another one. Well, it never took effect as far as feeling good or relieving stress, but I did have some pretty serious negative side effects from it. And in fact, I had like flu-like symptoms for literally 8 to 12 hours. It was pretty rough. So I think that was one of the only instances where I've taken too much kratom and really suffered because of it. But I didn't die, didn't go to the hospital. I felt chills and nausea, and it was bad news bears. But that's the signal to your body, like, hey, buddy, you need to back off, slow down. This isn't good. You overdid it. Alert, alert, alert. Not death, pass over, go into a coma, or have an overdose where you need to be rushed off in an ambulance to a hospital. So that's my two cents on that. It gives you, just listen to your body. I did a podcast recently contrasting natural health, holistic health with Western medicine and allopathic medicine. And the big lesson, the big takeaway was to listen to your body. Your body sends you signals. And when you can tune in with your body, you know, oh, this isn't a good substance for me. This isn't a good supplement for me. I've taken too much of this. I've taken too much of that. So yeah, just joined. Sorry if it's already covered. Suggestions for what to mix it with. For a drink, I mix mine with water. In fact, I'm drinking some right now. So this is about 2 teaspoons of kratom there in the bottom. And then I pour in the water and then I'll drink it. And then when it gets around halfway full or so, you'll notice it's more concentrated at the bottom. I don't know if you can see that. And so most of the kratom is still at the bottom. So then I'll add more water and I'll drink that over the course of like 2 hours. And for me, that's good enough. And I've managed, like I said before, I use kratom regularly, almost every day, but I've managed to keep my tolerance low because, like I said, oftentimes less is more. Now, if you're coming off of a heroin addiction for the past 5 years, or you've been using Percocet or Oxycontin for the past decade or 2 years or whatever, then a lot of people use a significant amount whenever they're transitioning from the use to the sobriety, because there's some serious withdrawals that you experience. A lot of the reason why I experience so much pain and discomfort when you've been using a substance for so long, alcohol, cocaine, opioids, heroin, is because your body becomes dependent on that substance for the signals to produce the endorphins and all the neurotransmitters that make your body feel good. And so when you stop taking those substances, your body doesn't know how to do it on its own. And so the body's just left there kind of like, well, dang, we relied on that chemical this whole time, or even with kratom, on that plant this whole time in order to pop off the endorphins. And now we don't know how to do it on our own. So the body has to take some time to learn how to start regulating itself and finding balance. And that's precisely why it's so damn uncomfortable for people whenever they're quitting an addiction or they've been taking a substance for a long time. That's why kratom helps people when they're dependent on opioids or opiates. They start to experience those withdrawal symptoms. You take kratom, teaspoon, couple teaspoons, however much you need. And a lot of people find that they don't experience the withdrawal symptoms hardly at all, and they're able to transition. Now, again, here's that critical point where I want to caution you. If you are dependent or addicted on something and you're going to use kratom in order to overcome that, make sure you don't find yourself physically dependent on the kratom. Again, we talked about it's not ideal. Yes, it's an example of harm reduction. So when you find yourself, okay, I haven't taken the opioid now in 3 to 5 days or a week, you can taper off of the kratom. So, okay, I was taking 10 grams. Now for the next week, I'm going to take 8 grams. Next week, I'm going to take 6 grams. Next week, I'm going to take 4 grams, then 2 grams, and I'm not going to take it at all. Now, a lot of people that were using the substance, some people got in a car accident or whatever, but there's other people that were using the substance because it put them at ease and they are anxious generally, perhaps because of trauma in the past or whatever. And so if you're going to continue to use kratom regularly, try to make it as small amount as possible. To each their own. At the end of the day, it's a freaking plant. And one of the only negative side effects of taking it regularly that I can think of is that it can be taxing on the liver and kidneys, right? I'm somebody that tries to maintain optimal health, so I'm trying to be conscious of that. And there's been times actually where I was stressed out or moving or going through a divorce, and I was using kratom a little bit more than I do normally because it helps with stress and anxiety. And so instead of just doing one of these a day, on some days I would do 2 drinks like this. And I'm really in tune with my body, and I could feel like, oh, I think that's my kidneys down there kind of being like, whoa, slow down. We're really having to filter out these alkaloids quite a bit, dude. You're kind of putting us through the ringer down here. So it's really important to tune into your body. But again, at the end of the day, It's a plant. You can become physically dependent on it. If you do, taper down and just use it responsibly. That's what it's all about. That's what it's all about with all plant medicine, whether it's like ayahuasca or whatever, even cannabis. You can get too stoned out on cannabis and kind of feel paranoid and weird and stuff. So, oh, here's Mike Bunch. Yes, sir. Now I'm addicted to Kratom. Well, remember earlier we did a dichotomy between being dependent and addicted. So you can be physically dependent on something whereby when you stop taking it, your body experiences withdrawals. If you're addicted to something, you're physically dependent and there's all sorts of negative outcomes, whether it's your health or you're taking money from someone in order to use the habit, or you can't afford your Kratom habit, but you're still using all your money, you're in debt, you're bank accounts going negative, then I would call that an addiction. But if you're simply physically dependent on Kratom, I don't think that rises to the level of addiction. So this guy says heroin is from plant too. It doesn't mean it's safe. Well, like, yeah, same thing with cocaine. You have the coca leaf. Heroin comes from the poppy plant, but there's a whole process and chemical process that's used. I don't know exactly how heroin's made, but I know cocaine's mixed with like all sorts of crazy stuff and like gasoline or just some crazy stuff throughout the process. So this is just the straight plant material, the straight plant fiber, just like chewing on a coca leaf is just, I've chewed on a coca leaf before when I was overseas, and it just had like a mild numbing effect. It wasn't anything crazy at all. Kratom, again, it's just the straight plant powder, nothing, no chemicals added, no nothing. So yeah, Holly says Kratom addiction is nothing compared to opioid addiction. And that's what it's all about. A lot of people become dependent on Kratom and then they experience withdrawals when they quit. But a lot of people say it's nothing like that. Now I will say, check it out. So this gave me a real big eye opener as a Kratom vendor. I knew that people become dependent on Kratom, but I didn't know how bad it was for some people. There's this Reddit subreddit quitting Kratom. And there's people in here that report just some crazy, crazy withdrawals. The purpose of this forum is to give and receive information and support regarding quitting Kratom, Kratom withdrawal, and recovery. So made it 3 days and relapsed. So a lot of people have some stories here. Looks like they're doing pretty good. Here's somebody with a 74-hour update. Let's see what this person's feeling. I posted here on hour 5. This is my 3-ish day update. Backstory, I went to CT, Connecticut, from 90 GPD. Oh, cold turkey. I went cold turkey from 90 grams per day. That's a lot of Kratom. That's 3 of these bags. This is a 28-gram bag. We usually, this is probably about 30 grams. I instruct my staff to make them a little fat every time. 3 of these bags. Someone would normally take that for 2 weeks. Again, no judgment, but it's just really important to use things responsibly. Day 1 and day 2 just straight up sucked, even with 0.2 milligrams of clonidine and 0.5 of Xanax alternated every 12 hours. Additionally, ashwagandha and magnesium. I have also balcofane and Lyrica, which I use sparingly and no longer taking it. You have to force yourself to eat, do anything resembling a workout. I'm in the middle of a 3.5-mile hike while posting this. I don't want to hike, but I'm making myself because tomorrow it's back to the real world, wife, jobs, kids. Carve out 72 hours and you will be able to function. Anything rewarding requires work. You can do it. So I just want to point that out. All right, let's get back. Again, if you're just joining us, you can try Kratom for free. I'm just sorry. I think it's ironic when I'm just showing the story of somebody that's having terrible withdrawal symptoms, and here we are promoting Kratom. But if you are using opioids, if you find yourself stressed or anxious, if you want to quit drinking, but you still want to go out and hang out with your buddies, it acts as a great social lubricant. It's not for everybody. If you have a great quality of life and you just take vitamins and minerals, then it's fine. I use it personally as an entrepreneur because sometimes my brain gets a little cloudy around 1 or 2 o'clock. I also use it as a dad sometimes. I lose my patience with my kiddos, and the Kratom really helps to maintain balance and to be a really good, peaceful parent. And then when there's stress going on in my life, like I shared before, I went through a pretty rough divorce, and Kratom really helped to just, okay, I got this. Everything's going to be okay. We're going to get through this. Kids are going to be fine. Whew. So it's really good. I don't drink alcohol at all. And in fact, this is pretty much the only substance that I use. So can be abused. It can be used irresponsibly, but it's up to the user to do that. All right. Before we finish, we've been going on for a while. I want to thank everyone for checking us out. If you're checking us out on the Conscious Resistance Network, be sure to go to bros.freeanswerkratom.com. Let's just talk about the stinking CDC and the FDA. Here's another question. The Son of Battle Cry says, what part of Asia do you get yours? By the way, how does your kratom compare to other companies like Whole Herbs, Enjoy Kratom Caps? We get ours from Indonesia, and we've been using the same vendor for the entire time that I've had the company, which is since 2016. So I guess 4 years now, we've been using the same vendor, the same farmer. You can see, this is actually pictures from our kratom farm here. Let me see if I can get a shot there. You can see the background here. That's the actual farm. Those are the actual kratom leaves that that we use. It's hard to see, but so I don't know how it compares to those other companies. I haven't personally used those other companies, but I will say that our customer base is extremely pleased with the quality of our kratom. You can find kratom for less expensive elsewhere. So if price point is what's most important to you, then it may not be your best bet, Brave Botanicals. But I can say that the quality is a cut above the rest, and customers, both retail in the stores that we sell our kratom to and online, always comment that it's completely blown them away, especially people that buy it from head shops. They're like, man, I've been buying kratom from the head shop down the road, and your quality is just doesn't even compare. And the other thing that sets us apart as well is we have amazing customer service. It's myself and one of my staff people that will answer the calls and do text messages. We'll ship your kratom. Then like 7 to 10 days later, we'll give you a phone call to follow up, make sure you got it and see if you have any questions about taking it. We do follow-up emails. We do regular videos like this. And our phone number is readily available on the website. So you can go to the website right there, 512-773-6102. Might be changing that number, actually, but 512-773-6102. And that's my business line, and it connects to my personal cell phone here. So more often than not, if I'm not sitting down to dinner with the kids or in the middle of a intense Nintendo Switch game or something like that, or are hanging out with my lady, I'll answer the phone, or my staff person, Jana, will answer the phone, and we'll be sure to answer your question, check on your package, so on and so forth. So we definitely really pride ourselves in our customer service. All right, let's get down to what some of you guys might appreciate, debunking the freaking CDC and the FDA and all their BS. So in that article, it was mentioned that the FDA said, in both of those stories, that the FDA said there's been these kratom-related deaths. So we are going to look at the kratom-related deaths, and our friends over at the American Kratom Association did a good detailed analysis. This is their policy report. The FDA kratom death data, exaggerated claims, discredited research, and distorted data failed to meet the evidentiary standard for placing kratom as a Schedule I controlled substance. Now, I want to... we're talking about kratom here. Kratom's my industry, passionate about kratom, helps a lot of people. But a lot of you folks, especially if you're watching on the Conscious Resistance Network, there's a lot of analysis that goes into media and how it distorts the truth. And I just want to use this as a case to illustrate how media has a tendency to simply take what the FDA, the CDC, the FTC, the Department of Homeland Security, or whatever, they'll put out some report, some press release. They'll do a press conference, and then the media will simply take what they say and regurgitate it as truth without giving it any critical analysis. When this report came out that the American Kratom Association is referencing, and that was referenced in a story, there was a couple of news outlets that actually mentioned, oh, about some of these kratom-related deaths. Those are the good journalists out there that are giving an objective view, and they're digging one layer deeper rather than just taking everything at its face value. So here is an awesome report. So there was these 44 kratom-associated deaths. The FDA says its health risk claim is that there are 44 deaths associated with kratom. You hear that? Associated with kratom. The FDA claims it has released a total of 36 case reports. Only 26 appear to have any data. So they didn't even have data on some of them. All right, so check it out. These are the deaths. These are the 26 deaths that actually have data. The other ones don't have any data. And look at some of these. This is one of the kratom-related deaths. Death by homicide. Substance involved. It was redacted. Report completely redacted. Death is recorded in other FDA records as death by homicide due to a gunshot wound to the chest. It is assumed from the FDA listing that the decedent must have used kratom. This is exactly what they're doing with COVID. COVID-associated deaths, COVID-related deaths. The guy in Florida died in a motorcycle accident, was COVID positive. It was counted as a COVID death. This guy was shot in the chest and happened to have kratom in his system, and it was included as a kratom-related death. And see, the problem with this, with American society, is most people don't think critically, and most journalists don't. They don't take it a step further and examine it a step further. And so the FDA knows that, and they can just put together this BS, bogus 44 kratom-related deaths, and they know that it'll be parroted by the media, and then they know in turn the American public's just going to gobble it up because they believe everything the media says. Reported cause of death, heroin, alcohol, and benzodiazepines intoxication. Manner of death is accident. So this person had heroin, alcohol, benzos, THC, citalopram, morphine, chlorodiazepoxide, demoxepan, alprazolam, and then what's that at the end? Mitragynine, kratom. This was listed as a cause of death. On the evening of the death, the dissident drank alcohol, smoked heroin, took Xanax and Narcos. The dissident had a history of heroin and alcohol abuse. The family requested autopsy. The medical examiner did a toxicology test. This person hung themselves and had kratom in their system, and it's included as a kratom-related death. This person, I guess, choked. Dissident had fallen from a window but refused medical treatment. Man. So those are the first four, the most egregious. And then these all these kratom-related deaths had other things in their system. Not one of them had only kratom. See that? Not one of them is only kratom. And then there's a whole bunch of them that they list as kratom-associated deaths that have no data at all provided by the FDA. It's total bogus. It's nuts. This is the FDA. I don't know how anyone could take the FDA seriously. It's crazy. And this is the exact same thing that they are doing with COVID-19, we see. Now, let's talk about the CDC. So the FDA said 44 kratom-associated deaths. They ran with it. The media ran with that. The CDC also says kratom caused 91 overdose deaths during 18-month period, according to the CDC. This must be the report right here. I can't click on anything. I've got to accept their cookies. This is the CDC reports. Notes from the field. Unintentional drug overdose deaths with kratom detected in 27 states between July 2016 and December 2017. Now, this was put out in April of 2019, but as you can see, it's still getting traction when the media utilizes it. So they went out, they reviewed 27,338 overdose deaths. All right. Now, I put out an email about this. Let me find it. Here it is. The fake news is strong this week. And so I'm just going to review the debunking that I did of this stupid, stupid study by the CDC. In the paper, the CDC examined data on 27,338 overdose deaths that occurred during July 2016 through December 2017. Of the 27,338, only 152 tested positive for kratom on post-mortem toxicology. These are the people that are kratom positive. The study goes on to say that in 91 of the 152 kratom-positive deaths, kratom is listed as a cause of death. Now get this. In all of the 91 cases, except for 7, there were other substances found in the person's body. And in those 7, the coroners admit the presence of additional substances cannot be ruled out. So here we have the same thing. They say 91 kratom-related deaths, kratom-positive deaths, but in all of them, except for 7, there's listed other substances. And then in those 7, the coroner says the presence of additional substances cannot be ruled out. Of the substances that were found alongside kratom, fentanyl was found in most instances, followed by heroin, benzos, prescription opioids, and cocaine. So in reality, we have out of 27,338 overdose deaths in 27 states, there were only 7 where it was only kratom. And of course, there could have been other things as well. And so look, here's the headlines. This is what I was talking about earlier. So that study comes out totally bogus. In reality, this seems like it would be a positive selling point for Kratom. Out of 27,338 overdose deaths, only 7 of them had Kratom only. But again, even those, it's not going to be just Kratom only. There's probably other stuff. But check this out. This is what the mainstream media does. Herbal drug Kratom linked to almost 100 overdose deaths, CDC says. CNN, more deaths have been associated with Kratom than previously known. CBS, Kratom is linked to more overdose deaths than previously reported. Time, an herbal drug called Kratom has been linked to almost 100 overdose deaths, the CDC report. It's nuts. It's so nuts. Now listen to this one. Herbal supplement Kratom has killed 91 Americans across 27 states. Report reveals double the rate health officials previously thought. Even local news jumped on the bandwagon. Herbal supplement Kratom is tied to more U.S. deaths. Kratom's deaths on the rise. Kratom linked to nearly 100 U.S. overdose deaths. CBD finds. Man, CBD, that should say CDC. I guess they had an error there. It's absolutely egregious. And it looks like there was the New York Times actually properly pointed out the big hole. The new report is the highest tally yet of deaths in the United States where Kratom is said to have been a factor, but the numbers pale compared to the death toll from opioids, almost 48,000 in 2017. And like other reports that have linked Kratom to fatal overdoses, there was a significant caveat in the CDC numbers. The majority of deaths involved additional factors. So there you have it. Out of all of the media and all of the journalists, I'm doing air quotes for the podcast audience. There was only one that I could find that had the, that had the honor, that had the decency to actually dig a little bit deeper. So as you can see, the CDC and the FDA are totally full of it. And here we have a couple stories that are parroting the party line. At least this ABC 12 investigation, the Kratom craze, was halfway decent. But Kilo here, I think, where is this out of? I think it's Indiana or Chicago. This was totally Sioux Falls, must be South Dakota. This was a total hit piece linking some poor guy's overdose death with all sorts of pharmaceuticals and Kratom to Kratom. And it's just like a guilt by association thing. So there you have it. All right, we're gone quite a lot of time. Let us just answer some questions real quick. Where can we find trusted practical info about Kratom? Well, you can head over to freeounceofkratom.com. You can subscribe to our newsletter, and we always put out lots of info. There's a couple videos that I've done on this channel that are really thorough. This one really focused on these two stories and encouraged people to use Kratom responsibly, but there's been others where I've just gone through the whole litany and really broke down Kratom 110%. Ben Loved said, all that happens is you feel nauseous. It has helped me stay alive the last 3 years. Really appreciate hearing that. And I'm glad that Kratom has helped you. It's helped so many people. So good for you. Mike Bunch says propaganda. Oh, there's a great documentary, Leaf of Faith, on Netflix. So to answer Tar Alm's question, if you check out Leaf of Faith, it is super good, super scientific. In fact, that's where I get that little piano analogy. Super duper good stuff. Definitely check that out as well. Okay, folks, I want to let you know once again, you can go to freeounceofkratom.com, freeounceofkratom.com, where you can try an ounce for free. And you get a chance. All you got to do is pay $5 shipping and handling. And then you can, once you add that to cart, then you get a one-time offer to try our 4 other strains for 50% off. So you'll get 5 ounces of Kratom for $33.75, which is a hell of a deal. You can also go to bros.freeounceofkratom.com, bros.freeounceofkratom.com if you're tuned in on the Conscious Resistance Network. And the Conscious Resistance Network will get a piece of the pie. And I want to again invite you to subscribe to the podcast. This is the Live Free Now show, bringing you the news, views, tips, and tools you can use to live a free, prosperous, and healthy life. We talk about Kratom from time to time. We also talk about freedom cells, agorism. We break down news, give you a different perspective that you don't usually hear. And I'd like to say that we'd like to do things in a more cheerful, positive, optimistic way. So you can check us out and you won't be all overwhelmed with dread and doom, because there's a lot of beauty in the world and we like to highlight the beauty. And one of the beautiful things in this world is this amazing plant, kratom. All right, this is John Bush. Thank you everyone that tuned in live, and thank you everyone that is watching on the podcast. Peace and freedom. I'm out.